public schools. To join, look for the link at WFMD.com.
823 at WFMD. Hopefully he can hang around a little bit longer. It's the Morning News Express. Delegate Neil Parrott is on the phone with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Let's get right to it. First of all, I got a question. You know, the Annapolis is in full swing. They've been in session for a couple days, and so far, it's you haven't ruined our lives yet, but that could be coming.
yes.
One of the things that I heard from another delegate here, and I don't know if it was Carol Krim, Ron Young, Karen Lewis Young, or whatever, they were talking about the fact of maybe even Senator Huff, how many bills are actually, I think maybe it was Senator Huff, how many bills are actually put in and are frivolous. And I think, you know, there's some way we need to kind of weed through the chaff, so to speak.
Oh, I've heard talk about that. You're right. Right now, there's no limit on the number of bills that state senators and House members can put in. They call it the hopper, but basically introduce into the legislature. And some people really put in a lot of bills. Actually, one puts in about 30 every year. The average is probably around 10. And I think the proposal was to limit everyone to a certain number of bills, you know, maybe 8. And then, of course, that would take the average even down further because not everybody would have all 8. I think it's a good idea. However, I wouldn't want to impede what the delegates and senators are doing. I think what we really need to get are delegates and senators that better represent Maryland. Right now, unfortunately, the vast majority, it's overly controlled by Democrats, majority control, and they have enough votes without any Republicans to override Governor Hogan's vetoes. And so that creates a real problem. Really, it's just one party rule. And that's, I think, the major problem in Annapolis. Thankfully, we have Governor Hogan who can put a check on it. And we're seeing that happen right now with the current commission where, boy, if it wasn't for Governor Hogan, I think they would have ramrodded that through along with the huge tax increases that would have negatively affected every single family in the state of Maryland. I think the average raise in taxes was $6,000 per year. I mean, that's just unreasonable. Yeah. And thankfully, Governor Hogan has really been pushing hard against that and exposing the actual amount of taxes that would result from passing the current commission. So thankfully, I don't think that's going to go through as they first wanted it. However, that's going to be a major battle this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I saw this, and this is kind of, I hope, tongue in cheek, but a West Virginia Senate is considering a resolution drafted and introduced by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Charles S. Trump that reminds citizens of Frederick County that they are looking. Oh, maybe it's a different county. Maybe I'm thinking, okay. I thought it was Frederick County, Maryland, that they were asking to come over into West Virginia. And I thought, well, hey, maybe that might not be a bad idea. But it was it's Frederick County, Virginia, to become part of Frederick County, West Virginia, become part of West Virginia. So I thought that would have been funny.
That's true that it's Frederick County. Charles Trump, I know him from West Virginia. He is fantastic. And what's interesting there is Frederick County, Virginia, borders right against West Virginia. And that's one of the counties where these overreaching gun laws that they've said that Frederick County wants to be basically a sanctuary county, that they're not going to enforce whatever Richmond forces on Virginia, because that legislature has just become Democrat. It's really out of control, and they're starting to really pass some onerous gun laws. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to call today.
Yeah.
Maryland.
I want to get to that. We're up against the clock, and that's why, because I had somebody else call. I had the young lady from the Weinberg Center. So I want to get to that. So let me get real quick. Did you watch it? We'll get to the gun legislation after the news that they're trying to maybe ram down our throats here. We'll do that. But real quick, did you watch the Democratic debate? Give me a 30-second synopsis of that.
You know what? I really didn't waste my time watching the Democratic debate. But I did watch President Trump last night. And let me tell you, that was one of the best speeches that I have heard. And I am so encouraged. I don't know about you, but I bought a new dishwasher just a couple years ago. It takes about 3 hours to wash the dishes, and it doesn't even clean them very, very well. And the reason why is because of the EPA putting water restrictions. They can't use enough water to actually clean the dishes in a reasonable amount of time. And thankfully, President Trump and the EPA, they've studied it. They don't need to have those restrictions. As a matter of fact, with the water restrictions, you're actually using more water than you would without the restrictions, because you get it out of the dishwasher, and then you have to rewash it using more water in the sink.
Yep.
So it's a great common sense initiative that they're going to do, is remove those restrictions, and we're actually going to have dishwashers that work again. I was just so encouraged.
Yeah.
We'll keep you encouraged, and we'll talk about the bill that's up.
Hit Maryland's News Station, 930 WFMD.
Keeping our legal department busy. The Morning News Express with Bob Miller on 930 WFMD.
And let's continue our conversation. We've got Delegate Neil Parrott on the phone. Delegate Parrott, I want to talk about HB Bill 4, which is the Public Safety Rifles and Shotgun Secondary Transition. So basically, I think, from what I've read the bill, it talks about you not being able to sell your shotgun if you want to.
That's exactly right. And not only not sell it, let's say that you're out at the shooting range with a friend, and you're both shooting the rifle, and then you need to go to the restroom, so you leave. Well, that's a transfer, and now if the police catch you, you would be subject to 5 years in jail with a $10,000 penalty because you left that person alone at the rifle range while you went to the restroom. I mean, this bill is just over-the-top ridiculous, and it's a real shame. Here we are at the very, very beginning of session, and they're having the hearing today. Normally, and this is why I sent out an email alert to people. Normally, these gun bills come out about a month into session, and everybody has an understanding. This is gun day. You can come in and testify. But gun day isn't for about another month. Just today, they're actually having the hearing about this bill. I believe they're really trying to just railroad this bill through and just get it passed as fast as possible. Thankfully, groups like the NRA have put out alerts as well, and they're saying, hey, this is the day when we need to be there and let it be known that we are not in favor of this bill.
So let me ask you, and I really want you to be honest and truthful here, and that is, so say a ton of people sign up and testify on this. Does that really make sense? Does that make a difference when it comes to, say, somebody like Delegate Atterbury, who is sponsoring this bill, and maybe people who are lined up with the way that they are thinking?
Well, that's a great question. You're not going to change Delegate Atterbury's mind. She introduced this bill, and she's going to want to get it passed no matter who shows up or what they say. So we're not trying to convince Delegate Vanessa Atterbury. But there are people on the periphery who are convincible, including some of the delegates here in Frederick County. You know, they have a real mix. I'd call it like a purple district, the city of Frederick area, where there is a possibility that a Republican could come in and unseat them in a couple of years. So they're going to have more attention on the people who come in and testify. And those are the people we're trying to persuade, people who are actually persuadable, not the far left who is just really set in. And they really don't care about what the citizens of Maryland want. They just want their way.
Okay, so I'm looking at the bill, and what I see in here seems very innocuous. It really does. I mean, providing that a person who is not a certain licensee may not complete the transfer of a certain rifle or shotgun as transferor or transferee except under certain circumstances, requiring before a certain transfer is conducted, the transferor and transferee meet jointly with certain licensees and requests. I mean, there's a lot of gobbledygook here, but it seems like when you said, oh, if I want to go to the bathroom, I'm not going to be able to do that because of this bill. I guess you're reading between the lines, or you hear more about it than what is actually said here, because somebody seeing this looks at it and goes, yeah, well, I don't have a problem with that.
No, you're right. If you look at the bill itself, it could seem reasonable, but it's all in the definition of the word transfer. That's where, in the case where you went to the bathroom, you effectively transferred that firearm to the other person who's still at the shooting range firing. In addition to that, typically with like shotguns, you are able to just sell those to your friends or neighbors,
right,
without having to go through a lot of rigmarole, without having to go through a process. And, you know, these firearms are not even registered. So the NRA came out and said this bill is not even unenforceable because they don't know, the government, who actually has these guns and who doesn't. And even if there was a transfer, they wouldn't know. So it's really starting to get into that they want to have all these guns registered as well as handguns. I mean, that's the direction they're going.
So we have to, I guess we need to make sure that people call down there and express their opinions on this bill if they want it passed or not passed, right? And I'm a not pass guy.
That's exactly right. They should. Well, there is an opportunity to speak. Now, we're talking to people in Frederick who are probably going to work right now. And so anybody who wanted to go, you'd have to register between 9 and 11 a.m. this morning, and the testimony starts at 1. And in an unusual move, the committee, instead of it allowing the regular 3 minutes of testimony, and on gun bills last year they allowed 2 minutes, they've reduced it to 90 seconds. So even though I believe they're trying to railroad this through at the very beginning of the session, they still recognize that there are probably going to be a lot of people who come and testify. Now, if you can't make it to Annapolis, just emailing your delegates would be very helpful at this time, especially the delegates on the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
And good news for Frederick, you got Delegate Dan Cox, and we have selected him among the Republican delegates to be really up on the firearm issue. So if you have any questions, of course, you can email me or Delegate Dan Cox, and he's just doing a great job trying to make sure that our Second Amendment rights are preserved there in Annapolis as best we can.
Delegate Neil Perry, over time, I appreciate you spending a lot of time with us. Thank you, sir.
Great. Thank you, Bob.
Have a great day. It's the Morning News Express, 841.